Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we help enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, and ordained minister, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Well, hi, and welcome, everybody, to Nightlight Matrix. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the light workers, and you answer that call from all walks of life, from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities, from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles: watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers and journeymen, seekers, star children, philosophers, light workers, light bearers, and, well, that list, it goes on and on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all in our very own individual ways bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and the shifting of consciousness for all of mankind. This is my very private oasis in the turmoil we call creation, so sit back, take a break. Share your lights with us and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and tonight, along with Patricia Brooks, we invite you to come in and share your lights with ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our personal lights. Ken Quiet Hawk is that beautiful voice that you heard at the beginning of the show, and he can be found at nativestorytellers.com if you want to experience more of him. I'm BarbDeLong.com as far as website goes, and our special guest will get her to give her website shortly, too. I want to kind of give you a little background on Patricia Brooks. Going to let her fill you in on the most part, but she's written an amazing book. It's called God is in the Little Things, Messages from the Animals. And, of course, you know, you all know that I am, you know, one of the biggest animal freaks out there. I have 8 cats living with me presently, and you know, I will keep that number to that, because that's a heck of a lot of kitty litter to take care of. But animals are very spiritual. They're very magical, and I think they add to our energy. They enhance all that we are, and they speak to a part of our spirit, a part of our soul that nobody else can. And so when I was approached about this book and I got a chance to read it, I have to tell you, it touched me profoundly, and I found that in her explanation as to how animals have in many ways helped her to understand her reality and where she was, and helped her along her spiritual journey. It's an amazing story, and it's a book that is absolutely worth the read, probably more than one. And it sent me absolutely into looking to animal totems, just kind of as I remembered back, you know, different animals that had been present and had been there at times that my life changed and that I shifted in my levels of consciousness and that I moved into new directions. And looking at the totems and how they really did signal change in many different ways in my life, it was an aha moment for me, and I'm sort of one who has those aha moments frequently, so it was not a surprise, but I am so delighted to welcome her to the show. Patricia, thank you so much for coming tonight.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm so happy to be here.
I have to tell you, I had such an amazing time with your book, and what was interesting to me, what was fascinating to me was, you know, first of all, I'm an animal person, so you had me right at the get-go. But it's what really touched me and got me into, you know, the whole story and you know, did clear my sinuses quite a bit because I bawled my head out off. Your very first cat was named Misty?
Misty. Yes.
Misty. I had a Misty. And she was an important part of my life, and she was just, you know, she was a dramatic part of my life. And, you know, I sat here and I bawled my eyes out, and I thought, oh, my God, if the whole rest of this is this way, I'm just not going to make it through without a box of Kleenex. happily, after a good cry, I was able to read the rest of the book, and I found it fascinating how the animals actually led you into your spiritual journey, which was phenomenal.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's true. It's absolutely true. And my book is not only divinely guided, but it is absolutely divinely written. And I'm just truly the messenger. The animals led me. I believe God through the animals led me. And then God, the divine source, whichever name, you know, we prefer, told me exactly chapter by chapter what to write. So I believe that the animals were there for me, that God guided me, and then he wants me to share the message.
Well, you know, we all have, all of those of us who are on, well, everyone's on a spiritual pathway, let me put it that way. But those of us who are a little more awake than others and really realize we're on a spiritual pathway, all of us are led, you know, in unusual and wonderful ways to the field, and then it opens before us, and it gives us a unique and different and inspiring way to share a message with all the rest of humanity. And I was just so touched by your reaction to the animals that came into your life. Some with love and some with horror, but you know, I love the bats. So the toad especially as well. So you know, I have just recently read it, but you know, explain for everybody how you were inspired to go to understanding and reaching for the animal totems to know how to interpret what the animals in your life meant.
Well, actually, you know, it all started with my cat Misty. You know, you had mentioned Misty. He was the beginning of the chapter, and when I was shown what to write in the book, I was shown to start the book with Misty very specifically. And Misty, as you mentioned, you know, made you cry. You know, Misty was my heart. He was my absolute love. And I have never had 8 cats at one time, but I've had 4, and Misty being my very first. And truly my heart. It was a boy. I know he had a girl's name, but we liked the name, so we called it anyway. But Misty got sick, and Misty passed, and I talk about that throughout the book. But I was so brokenhearted, not only that Misty passed, but in the way that he passed, because, you know, I was really questioning, you know, whether I'd made the right decisions for Misty, and, you know, it was a really difficult time for me. And after he passed, like I said, I was heartbroken. And a couple weeks later, one of my girlfriends asked me to go out. There was a new store in town, and, you know, she thought it might be fun, you know, kind of a new age store with you know, crystals and stones and books and all sorts of stuff. So I said, sure. You know, I was still very sad. But I, you know, I was walking around the store and I was looking for something that would help me feel better about Misty. And I came to the section on books and I saw this book on animals. And it wasn't exactly what I was looking for, but it was on animals. So I thought that it would help me feel better about Misty. And I decided to get it. And it was actually a book on animal totems. And that was my very first introduction, other than knowing a little bit about the Native Americans and, you know, because animal totems are ancient knowledge, and having a little bit of an idea what they were, but not really understanding them. And so the book that I believe Misty led me to was my first introduction and my kind of my gateway into the understanding of them.
Well, and it's really kind of fascinating because your journey, as everyone's, is, you know, it's over a long extended period of time, but you mark times of transition, times of change with stories of animals that came into your life and at times when you needed to wake up and understand that a change was in process, that there was something to work on. And not everybody is as sensitive or intuitive as you are to recognize that, because you know, most of us kind of flow through the day and we don't really pay attention that much to the animals that are crossing our tracks. However, I have to say that after reading your book, I Googled animal totems and there are a number of times in my life where there has been not necessarily a pet, but an animal has really marked a change in my pathway. And I would imagine that most people will be able to, you know, you don't have to have the animal as a pet for it to impact you. When I had two animals die within 6 months of each other, both of them were you know, up in age. They were like 13. And it was devastating to me to have two of them go at one time. And I cried more at that time than when my mother, who had been sick for a very long time, died. So I can remember walking down to the end of my dirt road, and I'm on a pond, and I remember just sobbing at the very end. And I suddenly looked up because I noticed the reeds were kind of moving in one place. And this huge turtle, it had to have a 3 foot in diameter shell on him, 3 if not 4 feet. He was huge, and he was swimming right towards the shore, and his head was you know, sticking up out of the water, and he came right next to the shoreline, and he just looked at me, and I was shocked because I hadn't seen anything that big in the pond ever, and it just, I looked at it, and he looked at me, and he cocked his head, and then he turned around, and he swam back out, and I have to admit, it shocked the heck out of me, and I realized that you know, I was crying for something I was going to see again. I was crying for something that wasn't gone from my life. The cat is still here. He still is in spirit all over the place. I mean, the cleaning lady sees him. And it was sort of like, I was experiencing a loss that wasn't truly there, and it changed my perspective tremendously. And this turtle, you know, when I went and read, it was ancient wisdom. It was all sorts of, you know, the longevity and the understanding of lifetimes through time and stuff like that. So it did wake me up, and it's a story that I hang on to constantly, even though it happened a decade or so ago. It impacted me that greatly. And you have, my favorite stories are the bats.
Favorites at the time, that's for sure. You know, before I speak about the bats, so I will tell you what I did realize was, or came to me was, that cats, the spirit of cats, if you have a strong bond with a cat, the cats will stay with you. And it sounds like, you know, yours has. And I know that Misty is with me. I know he was with me after he passed quite a bit. And I believe he still comes and visits me. But specifically cats, the spirit of cats will stay with us. And you know, well, we both sound like cat lovers, so I think we, you know, we can, that's not anything that would be hard for us to, you know, to realize. Actually, at the store, I'll tell you, at the store, when I went to buy the, when I went to buy the books, I decided, you know, to buy the book. I went up to the counter, and the woman at the counter, she must have, you know, realized how sad I was looking, and she asked me, you know, if I, what was wrong, and I said, you know, I was just missing my friend, and she said, you know, he's right there with you. He's right over your right shoulder, and I was like, really? Like, I was trying to believe it, but I was just in, you know, so much, you know, I was just so sad. And she reached below her counter and she said, you know, she goes, this came today. I didn't order it, and I wasn't, and I didn't know why. She goes, but now I understand. And she reaches below her counter and she pulls out a little green jade figurine of a cat. And she handed it to me. And I was like, oh my God, you know. So, anyway, the cats will definitely stay with us. And just something else I want to mention, you mentioned about me being, you know, kind of aware enough to understand about the animals. I wasn't for a very long time. And in my book, you know, as you know, I talk about my personal story, and you know, the breakdown of my marriage, the divorce, and so forth. And you know, I was really, really struggling. I was very sad. I was having a really hard time emotionally. And it wasn't until I reached out, you know, I kind of was kind of knocked to my knees, and I reached out and said, I don't know if I was talking to God or the angels or who I was talking to at the time, but I was like, you know, you have to help me. You have to help me because I can't do this alone. And I started searching. And that's when I started walking down my spiritual path, and then a lot of different understandings started coming to me. But I had to get to the point that I lost the distractions of the day and my attention. You know, my attention was definitely caught, and I was paying attention. And then I started understanding.
Yeah, the the spiritual journey is a very interesting one, and all of us have very unique stories, you know, as how we got on them and what triggered our moving into that pathway. And for the most part, most people are sent in the spiritual direction because of a trauma of some sort, a shock to their reality. And at times when our pathway is changing, there are signs there for us. And it depends, I guess, upon where your sensitivities are, how you read and interpret the signs. You absolutely, with your book, just let people know how the subtleties of our environment are used as messengers for us if we only pay attention to them. And so many people just don't pay attention to the subtleties. They are plowing through their reality. They are not taking the time to sit and be quiet and to pause and to ponder. And the fact that you got your messages through animals is just so profound. And it has to have something to do probably with your past lives and the fact that you have been an animal communicator at some point of time in your life, because you certainly have a synchronicity with them and their wisdom and the messages that they bring to us, because they do bring messages. And, you know, you mentioned the Native American totem stuff, and it's interesting because in many places you tell of how different animals have been there at different times of crisis or transition in your life, and yet you hadn't found a totem until, you know, quite far into your journey.
Right. Right. You know, that's really interesting, you know, what you're saying about, you know, having some connection with, you know, with past lives and the animals, because, you know, I kind of always thought about it as, because of my great love for my cat Misty, that I was open to the animals. But when you talk about past lives, if I can just share, you know, there's no coincidences, right? But a quick story. I recently did a past life regression, and And after the regression, went up to the spiritual realm and I met my guides. And I went through, you know, this whole process of healing. It was actually fascinating. I mean, for a different show for sure. But the last question that I was asked before I left was, and what did they call you? And I immediately, without even thinking, it just came to me, I said, Ariel. I don't even know where that came from, because if I've said the name Ariel 3 times in my life, that's probably a lot, and I just came right out. So I didn't even know anything about Ariel. I looked up Ariel, and I realized, you know, I found out she was an archangel. And then I just, you know, again, I didn't do much with it. Like, a couple months went by, and just a couple weeks ago, I was like, you know, I should look up about Archangel Ariel. I don't know. I just decided it was something I needed to do. So I researched about her specifically, and she's the archangel with the animals and with nature, and she's, you know, the ally and the protector of the animals. But in addition to that, if that wasn't cool enough, as I kept reading about her, her message is one of connection to the natural world, oneness of spirit between all beings, and that is absolutely the message that I know that I'm supposed to share with the world. I mean, you could have taken Archangel Ariel's name out of the, like, write-up and put mine, and it would have been describing everything I've been doing. And I just found that so fascinating. So when you brought up some connection in a previous life, I absolutely agree with you. I think that is true.
I have a theory, and you know, I'll have to mellow it slightly, but my theory is that anybody who can have a pet and chooses not to is missing a part of their spirit. And, you know, there are lots of people that just can't have pets because of lots of circumstances.
Right.
Excuse me, but you know, if you can have a pet and you choose to not, there's a void someplace in your life. It doesn't mean you're not a good person. It just means there's a void someplace in your life. And of course, because I have tons and tons of animals, that's my philosophy. But I think that people who have a connection to animals have another link of intuitive energy that they have access to. And, you know, animals, as far as I'm concerned, are extraordinarily intuitive. To communicate with an animal, you have to be able to visualize and send pictures and receive them.
Right.
And most people who have animals do that, you know, without even realizing what they're doing. But that opens an awareness within us that allows us to have access to greater spiritual understanding of ourselves and our dimension and where we're meant to be and what we're meant to do and who we actually are and what the destiny of mankind ultimately is down the line. So I think that you're following the leads of the animals and understanding that they've been there all along. Every time that you came to a crossroads is profound, and it's amazing. And you know, I was a little jealous. It was kind of like, okay, I had a turtle and I've had a lot of cats, but you know, where are the rest of you guys? I mean, I live in the middle of the woods. I mean, I've got birds and I've got deer and I've got fox and I've got a lot of skunks, and so, you know, they're here, but most people don't take the time to notice them, and they're there, and the Native Americans did take the time. They took the time to pay attention to, you know, what was flying and what direction they were going. They took the time to notice, you know, where the pathways were that they walked, and they often walked the pathways of the deers because they chose the right pathway towards water and stuff like that. And the Native Americans had a connection to the animals that we seem to have lost, and it's very sad because they really do not only lead us in the right directions, but they have wisdom that they share with us that is quite profound.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I'm just so incredibly grateful to be speaking with you tonight, and because that's the exact message that I know that I'm supposed to share. And, you know, at the Native Americans, the Druids, the ancient Egyptians, I mean, we could go back to all the ancient cultures, and they had this connection. And somehow, maybe in just the busyness of life, we've lost it in our modern consciousness. And I know deep in my heart that, you know, we are spiritual beings, but the animals are spiritual beings. The natural world is full of spiritual beings. I mean, we can take it out to the trees and the stones, and I mean, we can, you know, we can talk about all of that, but the animals, you know, tonight very specifically are spiritual beings, and the same spirit that runs through me, I believe, that runs through you and all of you listeners, runs through all of the animals too. You know, it's the spirit of the divine, and I agree with you that if we're not, you know, if we're not open to the natural world, if we lose our connection with the natural world, the animals specifically, then we're losing a very, very big part of who we are, you know, the greater divine spirit that we're all a part of.
Well, we're also losing contact. If we lose contact with the animals, we're also losing contact with the Earth Mother, and that's an energy that we really can't afford to lose. So you know, there is a rhythm, a heartbeat of the planet that the animals are very connected to, because they're on the earth all the time. They're connecting to that energy. They are synchronizing their heartbeat with the earth. And we used to be that way, but we no longer walk upon the earth. So that, I mean, we isolate ourselves with shoes and with cement and with houses and with floors and asphalt and all sorts of stuff, so that none of us are really as connected to the earth as once we were. So that the animals, in a way, give us that connection.
Right. And it's interesting, because I tell people that if you want the animals to visit you, I'm sure they visited you a lot more. You probably just didn't notice, which I think is probably what happens a lot. They were right in my face. I mean, I didn't do anything special. They, you know, made themselves very well known to me. And again, I believe it's part of a greater divine plan that this is the message that I'm supposed to share. And that's why the animals were as persistent as they were. And, you know, kind of left no doubt that, you know, they were there for me. But I tell everyone to just invite them. You know, it's really as easy as asking. You know, if you want the animals to communicate with you, if you want the animals to be a greater presence in your life and bring you messages, then just let them know. Just let them know. Just let spirit know that you are open to that, and pay attention, because they will. Well, absolutely, without a doubt, they will.
Yeah, I have found that you know, being aware is the most important thing. And so many of us are going through this lifetime unconsciously, you know, focused on, you know, jobs and careers and stuff like that. I think that your message is great. And so let me ask you, you mentioned, you know, the animal cards too. Are you now doing readings with animal cards because of all of this?
Actually, yes. Yes, I am. I wouldn't say that I'm an animal psychic in the sense that some people are, you know, where they'll see the animals or they'll picture people. But I do the cards, and I do believe that my intuitive abilities have just ramped up so much. So, and if we believe in intention, you know, that if we the intention in the universe and there's no coincidences, then when I pull a card with intention, with a person in mind, then the animal that I pull is the message for the person. The animal's coming
mm-hmm.
forward. Because, you know, as we know, you know, the animals in my book visited me all very physically. You know, they were real animals. But animals can also present themselves to us through meditation. They can show up in our dreams. I've had a couple incredibly vivid dreams lately about animals, and they can come through the cards as a form of divination, a way to communicate with us too.
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, Patricia said that she would pull animal cards later on for people, so if you want to call in and raise your hand, we'll see if we can get to you guys later on in the show. Let me just give out the, normally we don't do, I don't do, I don't do readings, and I'm having trouble with a switchboard, you can tell. Well, you guys know what the call-in number is. It's at the top of your screen. Call in and raise your hand, and we'll try to get to you later. I can't get that part of my screen up. So anyhow, you know, everybody, frankly, I think animals are so intuitive, it's just incredible. And I think if we listen to them, they can absolutely help us in our day-to-day life profoundly. I know that when I have people come to the house for readings, if my cats are not anywhere to be seen, I make an excuse to not do the reading. Because if my cats are hiding from whoever it is I am reading, then I know there's something strange with that person. And I jokingly say they cat scan my clients, because if when someone comes in, the cats are around and they want to hang around the table, I know everything's fine. That the person is at least stable, and you know that there's not going to be any profound upset of any sort. But if my cats aren't around, and I have eight of them, so if all eight of them are missing, it's something to pay attention to.
Oh, absolutely. You know, can I maybe just explain a little bit more what the animal totems are, because in case somebody's
sure.
not really familiar with them. Because, you know, it's funny because sometimes people will be like, the animals, what, do they talk to you? And I'm like, no, you're not understanding, or I didn't, you know, let me explain it. But the concept of animal totems is that the animals energetically, or God through the animals, the divine through the animals, energetically communicate with us. And the behaviors and characteristics of the animals are studied because they're symbolic of the message the animal has for us. But it's really important that the animal we mentioned presents itself to you, you know, in a very specific, unique, or repetitive way. So for like example, if I was just outside and a bird flew over my head, you know, that might not necessarily be a specific message for me, because it might have flown over a lot of people's heads. But if it came and it, you know, the same bird flew over my head multiple days in a row, or came and was sitting on my back deck, or, you know, did something that was a little unique or out of character for it, then I could, you know, ask myself if I believe the animal had a message for me. And we mentioned before, we're all spiritual beings, so everyone really knows if we just become still long enough and quiet long enough and we can hear our own divine voice speaking to us, we know, you know, really everything we need to know. You know, there's books, people can go online, there's many different ways to find out about the symbolism of the animal, but that would be the message, you know, to you as from the animal. So it's,
well,
it's so fun.
Well, you just out of curiosity, you know, how did you discover your totem? How, you know, was it a workshop that you did and you kind of figured it out from there? What, you know, just exactly, how did you discover your totem?
My life totem?
Yeah.
So there's two different types of animal totems. There's message totems, where the animals will come with a specific message, and they can come, you know, in and out of your life. So as many, many, many animals can visit you throughout your lives, and they can bring a specific message, like what happened to me, you know, in my book. There's also another type of animal totem called your life totem or your power animal. And some people believe that one or up to nine different animals can be with you throughout your life. Think of them almost like spirit guides, and they are then symbolic of your true nature. So mm-hmm. I was at a workshop one night because once, you know, I said earlier that I started searching, you know, when I was reaching out saying, you know, I need some help here. I need to really figure out what's going on. I started going to a number of different workshops and metaphysical type workshops, and this one night, this woman was talking about animal totems, which was, you know, I had already kind of been on the path. I'd already started being aware that the animals were visiting, and she started talking about her life totem, and hers was a wolf. And when I left the workshop that night, it was on a full moon, and I just had this overwhelming feeling. I said, you know, the next animal that I see tonight is going to be my life totem. And I don't ask me how I knew that. I just knew it without a shadow of a doubt. And, you know, it was in a pretty rural area. There's a lot of woods around. And I had about a half an hour drive home. And I thought, you know, this is going to be easy. You know, I'll probably see a bunch of animals. And I was driving, and I didn't see any animals at all. But I was like, no, I know if the first animal I see is my dog when I get home, then the dog is my life totem. I just, you know, you ever just know something just so profoundly, it doesn't matter, even if it doesn't make any sense, you just feel it. And
oh, yeah.
And I was no sooner said it again that the next animal I see, I know is my life totem, than an owl swooped out of the woods and directly in front of my car. But it didn't fly across my car. It came to the center of my windshield, and then it made a complete U-turn and flew. Like, it just, like, spread its wings wide. It was the coolest thing ever, and made a U-turn and flew right back in the woods, right in front of my car. It was the only animal I saw all night. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, that was amazing. And as I knew, I mean, I know without a shadow of a doubt that my totem is an owl. And the interesting part about it is they say that the life totems or power animals typically are animals that you have an affinity for, you know, an animal that you're really drawn to in your life. And many times they're not domestic animals, you know, they're more wild, or the wild counterpart of the animal. And as I started thinking about it, I had realized that for a very long time, I've always loved owls. I always associated with owls. I actually had an owl as a banking, like, icon, like, a couple years ago, just out of the blue. I had all these pictures to pick. I picked the owl. And all through my life, I could make connections that I've always been drawn to owls, which is really funny. And then the owl presented itself, and I know it's my my life totem.
Well, I think that, but you don't just suddenly sit down and say, I want a life totem, so the next animal I see is going to be my life totem. I mean, there had to certainly be some work prior to that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I had already started becoming familiar with the animals, and I have already started realizing the animals were bringing me messages. But I never thought about any of them being my life totems or my power animal. But at this workshop, just, you know, intuitively, maybe it was just my time to meet my power animal, but I just had mm-hmm. this overwhelming knowing that I was going to meet my life totem that night. It was a very powerful feeling, and it came out of nowhere.
That's incredible. I know that you know, the Native Americans, you know, have such an affinity for the animal realm that it's profound, and it's a little sad that the rest of us don't pay the kind of attention that they do to the animal world too, because I feel that we've lost a part of our humanity by becoming so I don't know, mechanically oriented and focused on the big toys we can get and the electronics and everything, when the aspect of nature is there and it talks to us and it literally gives us messages like crazy. And you know, everyone will find a way that the universe can communicate with you, and sometimes it's through rainstorms, and sometimes it's through clouds, and sometimes it's through animals, and sometimes it's through, you know, it's there's a plethora of ways that the universe can communicate with us, but the animals are so close to us. They are so a part of our lives, and even the ones in the zoos and the ones that are wild that are you know, living in the area around us, they all have something very wise and profound that they can share with us if we give them a chance and an opportunity. I know I had skunks living in my foundation for a couple of years, and I didn't begrudge them the fact that they were living in the foundation of my house. I begrudged the fact that their perfume was not appropriate for my habitat. But you know, I kept saying, you know, well, when it gets warmer out here, they'll move to a different place, and then we can air the house out. But it never ever crossed my mind to them and have them euthanized or relocated or whatever they do. So I think it's important for us to remember that we have to live in harmony with even the animals. I mean, they're easier to live in harmony with than people are quite often. So how has your journey been since you published the book? I mean, have you been getting tons and tons of interviews and stuff like that?
Yes, I'm actually doing quite a few interviews. I think it's going really, really well. And I believe it's because people are feeling their dislocation, you know, from their spirit. I believe that people, you know, we have so much stress and sadness and anger and all this negative type of emotions, and I truly believe that it is because we've lost the connection, you know, what you were just referring to, and we're searching. I can't tell you, I haven't met one person yet that either hasn't read my book or had the conversation with me about animal totems that they weren't profoundly touched, and they weren't, you know, they feel a sense of joy and excitement and connection, because we are all, it's all one spirit, you know, we are truly, there's a oneness between all of us extending out to the natural world, including the natural world. I mean, we're sharing the earth with the animals, with the stones, with the trees, you know, with the water. I mean, we're sharing it, and when we forget that, or which it seems, you know, many people have, I think we feel that. We feel that inside. And, you know, we can't quite figure out what's wrong, but there's something wrong. And so having the conversations and bringing the awareness to people is bringing tremendous joy to many people, because they're rediscovering that connection. They're feeling that connection again. So it's actually really, really wonderful.
Well, I know that the Chinese believe that cats especially will pull heavy energy from people that are emotionally upset and having difficulties. And I used to have a meditation group in my house. I had it for almost 20 years. And I found that after I started the meditation, the cats that I had at the time, and I think there were three of them then, they used to come into the middle of the living room and walk around the living room, and I would see each of them choose a person and get up in that person's lap for the meditation, and without fail, they picked people who were going through a difficulty, who had an emotional upset, and who needed comfort. And I have never seen anything more profound in my entire life, because oftentimes I would wonder exactly why a cat chose a particular person, and after the meditation I would go up and say, you know, is something going on here? And you know, you get the you know, the absolutely, oh my God, I can't believe it, your cat chose me, and I was just so in need of having that warmth and that love, and, you know, it was amazing.
Right. Oh, absolutely. You know, I try to meditate every morning, and I have a dog, and he finds me every time and jumps up in my lap, and I think he enjoys it as much as I do. You know, he's like very connected, and, you know, it's a really peaceful kind of wonderful time, but he's always on my lap when I'm starting my meditation. He finds me.
Well, you know, I think animal communicators, they've done a study on them. They did a couple, actually, and they have found that animal communicators are able to get into alpha faster than anybody else. And when you communicate with an animal, you go into an alpha state to do it. So that it would stand to reason that you know, when you go into meditation, you go into alpha. That's when you have a real connection to your pet, and there must be some sort of exchange or synchronicity at that point in time where there's a greater understanding of exactly what it is you're doing.
Right.
So it is really a cool thing. Okay, so I've had to switch computers, but I've managed to do that very gracefully, I might add. If you would be interested in having Pat pull an animal card for you, the number is 347 877-285-2139. And very shortly, we're going to be doing that. So I suggest you get in the queue and you push the number one if that's something that you would like. There are a couple people there now. So we'll give it a couple more minutes and then we will hit the queue. I want you to talk a little bit more about the book, because not only is it the record, your legacy of your spiritual trip to this point in time, but it is a very unique way of making that journey. And it is, you know, there's no doubt about the fact that you were guided, and you were guided by the animals, you know, marking the times that you had changes coming and or reminding you that there were things that you needed to attend to. And, you know, I mentioned it before, and I'm going to mention it again. Talk about the bats, because the bats came back three times, and it meant something.
Absolutely. And the bats, yes, they were the most persistent. I guess it took me a while to realize, you know, what I needed to realize. But the bats started actually when I was still married. The bats were one of the animals that had been visiting me before I was even remotely aware of animal totems, and they had already made themselves known. But I was visited in the first time a bat visited me, all three times was in my bedroom, and all three times was in the middle of the night, and all three times I was asleep. So, you know, a very vulnerable time. But, you know, I know the bat was for me because it was very specific to me. So, for example, the very first time I was sleeping, the bat came and visited. It literally hovered and fluttered right above my face. Like, I could feel it above, you know, the wings. I could feel something like what felt like almost like a caress on my face. And, you know, my kids were little and I was exhausted and I was a very light sleeper, but I knew it wasn't my kids and I knew my kids weren't calling me, but I knew it was unusual enough that I should probably open my eyes and see what was happening. And so I opened, I flipped on the switch, and I saw this thing, you know, like circling around the room, you know, furiously at that point. And I screamed, I ran out of the room, I thought it was a bird, and I, you know, woke my then husband up to say, there's a bird in our room, like, get it out. And it turned out to be a bat. And thank God he handled it. But the bat was not harmed, and he got the bat, you know, he got out the bat out the window. And I was absolutely terrified. Bats were one of, and still a little bit are, one of the animals that I was the most fearful of. And then think like pitch black, you know, 2 a.m, groggy from sleep. I mean, I was pretty traumatized by it. And I just thought, actually, for quite a few years, I just had the really bad misfortune of a bat getting in my house and getting in my room and wanting to wake me up specifically, never realizing until later that it, you know, it was there for me and it had a message for me. And if you'd like, I can explain the bat's, you know, the symbolism of the bat and the message the bat had for me.
Yeah, give them an indication of what the bat was trying to tell you, because I love it. I often have told people that if you don't learn a lesson, it will come again and again and again until you realize what the message is. And then once you've gotten the message, you know, you can move on, and the message moves on as well.
Right, and that's absolutely what happened to me, absolutely. You know, the bat came to me first at a time in my life when my marriage was, you know, starting to not really work for me any longer. And, you know, but I kind of had the marriage, I had the house, I had the kids, you know, I kind of thought I had, you know, it was good enough, basically. You know, it was kind of the whole package, and I figured, well, I'm not really that happy, but, you know, who's really that happy? You know,
yeah.
It was good enough, and it was kind of the full package. And the symbolism of the bat is basically a rebirth, a significant, you know, personal change, a rebirth, a transformation. And questions to ask yourself when the bat comes to visit you is basically like, what's not working for me? You know, what part of my life maybe is even actually dying around me then, you know, that I need to be paying attention to? Because I am in the process of a rebirth, or, you know, should be paying attention to allowing a rebirth, because what I have right now is not right. It's not, you know, it no longer works for me. And so the bat visited me. I didn't get the message. The bat visited me a couple years later, you know, when the marriage was even worse, and I didn't get the message. And then actually the bat visited me one time after my divorce, and I was still kind of really struggling, and I think I was kind of not fighting the rebirthing, but not really getting it yet either, that I really needed. You know, they talk about promise after change. You know, one of the biggest messages of the bat is promise after change. And it wasn't until I was actually in the house by myself and I had to handle the bat and deal with the bat, and I finally said to the bat, like, you're here for me. You really want me to get this message? And I handled, you know, was able to contain my fear and handle and get the bat out of the house all on my own, and realized that, just like you just said, that until I really faced my fear, until I really kind of was able to deal with it and allow myself to truly go through the process and believe that there would be promise after this great change I was going through, that the bat was going to keep coming back. And I decided at the third one that three was enough, and that I needed to pay attention.
Yeah, and that's amazing, because it did teach you something. And I think that awareness and being aware of the subtleties of the messages that are being given to you by the universe is so important. And, you know, coincidences, there are no such things as coincidences. There's a reason behind them, and those reasons are what are the messages that the universe is trying to send to us. The universe doesn't do telegrams. It doesn't do notes on refrigerators. It doesn't, you know, send you a telegram. The universe has subtle ways of letting you know things, and hopefully we're awake to see them. We've got a number of people here that are kind of itching to get an animal card from you. Are you up to pulling a couple?
Oh, sure, absolutely. And before I pull the first one, though, if I can just mention, though, that what makes all of this even more rich and full and fun and fascinating is it's not even just the animal symbolisms of the specific animal. When we talk about the natural world, it all kind of works in concert with each other. And there's a lot more if people, you know, start to pay attention to the animals and really want to get the messages. There's significance in the colors of the animals, the landscape the animal is found in, the direction the animal is coming from, whether it's on your left or your right, the number of animals that visit you is significant. And I created to help people in understanding their animal totems, kind of a free report. If they visit my website, they can sign up for the mailing list, and I send it to them, and it goes through not only what animal totems are, but a lot more, you know, full description.
Okay. What is your website?
Oh, yeah, I probably should say that. It's very easy. It's godisinthelittlethings.com.
Okay.
So it makes everything just so much more fun. You know, if anybody says to me, you know, what is the, besides, you know, the spiritual growth and development and the connection with the animals, I would have to say to everyone that when we start to really pay attention and we allow the natural world and the animals to really communicate with us and embrace them as spiritual beings and part of our lives, it's just so much more fun, you know. It just makes day so much more joyful because it's like, wow, that was really cool. Like, I noticed that really cool thing that happened, and, you know, and you can make the connections, and you feel supported, too. You know, I think the other thing that people feel sometimes is they feel very alone, or they think they have to do everything by themselves, and I want people to know that that's not the case. You know, it's not the case. They are fully supported by the universe, and the universe including the animals and the natural world, that it's all here for us. We just have to open ourselves up to it.
Absolutely. Okay, let's see who we've got here. Usually I have Jeannie who screens people, but not tonight. So we're going to just wing it. Hi, 503-805. This is Barbara, and you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Barbara. This is October. No, honey, just a minute.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I'm in Portland, and I wanted to – can I make a comment real quick before you do my reading? I was struck by the fact that Patricia said that the bat kept choosing her to come and wake her up, and, she, you know, the bat was coming to wake her up. You know what I mean? I thought that was wonderful, you know, to think that, you know, that's what he was there for, was to wake her up.
Absolutely.
You know? Oh, interesting. Right, because to wake me up, not even just physically, but spiritually.
Right.
And
yes, spiritually.
You're right.
Yes. And you said it you did, without really even thinking about it. And sometimes we do that. But anyway, so go ahead. Sorry. I wanted to say that.
Oh, no, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And I'm so sorry, I didn't catch your name.
October?
Hi, nice. Mm-hmm. So nice to meet you. Well, I did. I pulled a card for you, and I pulled the Ram. And the Ram is a really awesome card because it's a card of breakthroughs. You know, if you think of the big horned rams, and, you mm-hmm. know, how they you know, how strong they are and how they kind of will, you know, kind of push and push and push until, you know, they get that breakthrough. So it's a very strong, kind of like a headstrong kind of card. And it represents your ability to kind of penetrate or overcome that you can achieve. You know, you have the strength of the Ram. But there's a caution with it, and that is that you don't butt your head up against maybe a brick wall or lock horns with somebody or the situation, that you're able to achieve whatever you set your mind to. Just be careful of not butting your head against the wall.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Wow,
you're welcome.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
That's really cool. I had never thought of that kind of an analogy, but that is really cool. Okay, we've got...
Yeah. And these are really cool. I'm sorry, I was just going to say, these are really quick, right? You know, animal symbolism and messages and stuff can get very, very deep based on this particular person. But this is, you know, these are...
Oh, yeah, no, we're giving them just a taste here. Okay, we've got 720-366. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Barbara. This is Ibitar. How are you?
Hi, Ibitar. I'm great. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing well.
Okay, we got Pat.
What's Pat? Hi,
Patricia.
Hi,
Patricia,
how are you?
This is Ibitar.
I'm good.
Well, would you like me to pull a card for you?
Yes, and I wanted to say that the crows have been, you know, they really been showing themselves the last few months, just flying right in front of me or right past my car.
Well, you know, crows are very, very powerful totems. You know, crows, mm-hmm. you know, unfortunately have a really bad rap sometimes because people think that they are, you know, that they're not, that they're kind of opportunists, you know, because they think that they're not very smart. But crows have been shown to be some of the smartest birds out there. Is the crow, and it's very connected as a very mystical and very powerful totem, and it has quite a bit of mythology around it. The crow, the specific, would you like me to give you your card, or would you like me to give you more about the specific of the crows? What would you prefer?
About the crows.
About the crows? Okay. The crows is about... So they say wherever there's crows, there's magic, and it's, you know, it's good magic. But see, because the crow is a symbol of, is also a symbol of creation and spiritual strength, crows have great and they're great communicators. You ever hear the cawing of the crows? You know, they always seem to be talking to each other. So they're a message is in their communication. So if the crows are appearing to you very frequently, then I would say that it, you know, then maybe to start paying attention to your own spiritual communication, maybe opening yourself up. I don't know if you're developing your spiritual intuition or are on your spiritual path, but the crows are telling you, like, pay attention, because you're also a great communicator, and, you know, you just have to start listening.
Oh, yeah, my gifts are, like, on blast. Everything is just on blast.
Yeah, well, the crows are telling you.
Yeah, not exaggerating, and it's intensifying more and more each day.
Well, pay attention to the crows, and then, and as I mentioned before, there's, you know, great symbolism in the animals. You know, they don't just appear randomly, so pay attention
right.
to what direction they're coming from, how many of
okay.
them you see, what the landscape
okay.
looks like. There's a lot of information, you know, that the animals
okay.
have for us.
Okay, I'll pay attention.
Okay, thanks for calling in.
You're welcome.
Okay, we've got, we've got 831-621. Hi, you're on the air. Hello,
Hello.
Hi, who is this?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Christina calling from California, and my question would be, I see in my backyard, as well as in my front yard, on the roof of my house, white-winged doves, crows, and hummingbirds, and what's unusual is I can see them together, and they don't seem to be bothered by each other. And the white-winged dove, that was the first animal that I remember hearing as a child, and when I moved back to this house, I knew I was home because I hadn't lived in this town since I was a little girl. Could you tell me some more about what you think those three animals mean, that they're together and that they're here? Because I see them every day.
Wow.
In my window.
Well,
like, I'll be having coffee and they'll be in my window, like, saying hello.
Well, I'll tell you, well, the crows we just talked about,
yes.
right? And that's the spiritual,
mm-hmm.
you know, the spiritual communication. The dove is a symbol of... more of kind of like letting what's behind you, let it go, you know, mourning whatever is past, mourn it, and then release it is the message of the dove. And the hummingbird, which is really interesting, is one of finding the joy in life, you know, thinking of like the flitting of the hummingbird. I mean, it's kind of hard to ever look at a hummingbird and not kind of get a smile on your face, right? And the long beak of the hummingbird, how it sticks it into the flower and extracts the nectar of life, is symbolic of extracting the joy from life. So just really quickly, I would think that, you know, the crows are telling you, open yourself up, you know, spiritually, that, you know, to hear the messages. The dove is saying whatever you need to let go, let go. And the hummingbird is telling you to bring more joy into your life.
Thank you very much. I'm understanding those messages. I'm going to write that down. Because that is, to me, there's a deep meaning in what you said, and I so appreciate you passing along the information. That's going to be really helpful to me. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You just gave me chills. You're welcome, honey.
Many blessings.
You know, I think sometimes that I have trouble even conceptualizing. And I mean, I know that you know, the warm fuzzy creatures, you know, the deer and the skunks and the cats and the dogs and the lions and the tigers and the bears, oh my, all of them, I can see a warm positive meaning too, and yet there are residents of the animal kingdom that I'm sure have positive insight about them that some of them that I just am repelled by, and others of them I would run screaming from. So I mean, you know, I don't like ants and spiders, and yet every spring I have spiders in my house, and you know, I talk to them and I ask them to leave, and I in many cases I encourage them to leave, and then I'm ashamed to say I kill them. You know, I'm fine with ants almost any place but my kitchen, and that drives me crazy. But I know ants have, I guess where I'm going is, even things like reptiles and itty-bitty bugs that are annoying and things like that, they all have something very positive to say to humanity, and it's kind of tough when you're frightened of them to even think about the fact that there's a good message coming here for you.
Right, and you know, it's like anything else, you know, we need to lose the judgment though, right, because everything that you said about the ants and the spiders was a judgment, and your judgment was that they were, you know, icky, or, you know, there was some, you know, you didn't like them or something like that. And isn't that the way it is with life? Like, that's one of the biggest lessons that I've been learning recently, is that I need to lose the judgment, not only on myself, but on others, but on the experiences that I'm having, you know, whether it was a good one or a bad one, or, you know, I mean, I mentioned earlier that, you know, I went through a really emotional time, and I, you know, I was divorced and I got knocked to my knees. And for a very long time, I judged that as being this terrible thing that happened to me. And it wasn't until I could really start looking at things as opportunities for me to learn from or grow from, then everything started to shift. Because because we have to lose the judgment. And animals are no different. I mean, The animal that came to me the most was the one I feared the most, and I had a lot of judgments surrounding it. But they are incredible animals, and they help the earth. You know, they're one of the biggest propagators of new plants. I mean, how could you fault them? But I had to lose the judgment of the animal. You know, so your point is very well taken.
No, I've got bats well, I live on the edge of a wetland, so I have a swamp here, and I have bats here, and it's incredible because they eat the mosquitoes, and I literally don't have any mosquitoes, and I live on a swamp pond. It's a marsh, it's wetlands, but there are times I call it a swamp, but I totally agree with you. I mean, I think snakes are the thing that I am the most hesitant to get close to. And when I moved in here, of course, you know, you see snakes. And I am to the point now where, you know, when I see a snake going the other direction, I just mentally say, yeah, keep going, because I really know I'm as scared as you are. So you just run your direction, I'll run mine. But what, and I know that in many cases, snakes are, you know, they're considered wisdom. They're considered a tremendously, I mean, there are a lot of really good connotations put to a snake. I just have trouble wrapping myself around, you know, all the wonderful good things that they may represent.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And I'm not saying that there's not a lot of animals or insects. You know, the whole insect world is part of the animal world, and they have messages for us also, that, you know, the creatures of the sea have messages for us. You know, not every animal has messages. And some of them, you know, everybody wants to have the really cool totem, or, you know, everybody wants the hawk to visit them or something. And hawks are awesome, but so are crows, you know, and so are the bats. And So it is because of the gifts of the animals. They're all gifts. They're all blessings. They're messages.
Well, it's like people. I mean, there are some people that you would rather be around, and there are some people that you would rather not be around. And I think the same, you know. And yes, judgment comes into it, but you know, there also is that fact that, you know, we do have choices too, and you can choose to surround yourself with something or not.
Absolutely. I'm not saying you have to invite the spiders into your home, you know, but, you know, I'm like the spider carrier outer. I don't kill the spiders, and they don't scare me. And I'm the one that gets called whenever there's a spider in one of the rooms to catch it. And then I walk it outside. I have to say, I'm not suggesting that you need to do that or anyone else needs to do that, but that's just something that I do. You know, I just, maybe because they don't bother me, you know, if it's a different kind of bug, I don't know how I would react, but.
Well, I know when I moved in here, of course, you know, living on the, you know, living in the forest, you get field mice. And the very first time a field mice, you know, my cats are inside cats, but apparently mice were stupid enough to come into a house with 8 or 9 cats in it. So, you know, the first time they caught a mouse, I was terrified, and I locked myself in the bathroom, you know, waiting for them to do what they were going to do so I could either pick up the body and get rid of it or not even think about what happened to the fact that it was no longer there. And over the years, I have come to the point where I will try to trap the mouse before the cats get it and get it outside. And quite often I take it, you know, across the street and down the road a little bit and just, you know, turn it loose and say, don't come back, they'll kill you. And
right.
Every now and then one is stupid enough to come back in and, you know, and you do find them. But you do get to a point where there is more of an acceptance. And I guess, just out of curiosity, if someone had an animal totem that was a mouse, what would that say? I mean, what does a mouse represent?
Well, I had the mice visit me also, and what's really interesting, they were little field mice, and I for the longest time didn't think that they could be a message for me because I thought, oh, well, you know, everybody at one point or another could have a field mouse in its home, and the mice kept coming, and it kept trapping them, you know, in the have a heart traps. I wasn't killing them, but it was very traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you read the book, you know, that scared me terribly.
Oh, yeah.
And it would make my kids go with me and, you know, like bring the mouse to the trail because I couldn't do it alone. But it wasn't until I actually stepped on one that wasn't anywhere near where the other ones were, and then it waited for me to come back and realize I'd actually stepped on. It was a mouse I stepped on. And I finally said, oh, my gosh, well, maybe you are here for me. And I acknowledged that they were a message, that they never came back again. You know, they just stopped coming, which was so funny because they came for so many weeks. And then when I was like, okay, I get it. I'll try anything to get you to stop coming. Are you a message for me? And I looked up the message. They stopped. And thank goodness. And
what was the message?
Well, the message from the mouse is, you know, if you think about mice are pretty fearless. You know, they're going to just scurry around just about anything. You can put anything in their path, and they just kind of scurry around it. And if they can't get around it, then they try to chew it into smaller pieces. You know, they're always chewing up something into smaller pieces. So the message of the mouse is basically, you know, to take things one step at a time, you know, to go forward without fear, to break things down into manageable pieces if it seems like it's, you know, too big for you to handle. And that was the perfect message for me because I was trying to, you know, kind of run the house, and I was mom of two teenage, you know, still am a mom of two teenage girls, and do everything, and I was overwhelmed. I was totally overwhelmed, and I felt like I wasn't able to move forward at all. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't breaking things down into small pieces. I wasn't taking things one step at a time. I was trying to do everything all at the same time. And it wasn't until I realized what the mice were trying to tell me that I could actually could get a handle on things.
Okay. Well, I have a question then. While I, you know, as said, you know, I get mice every now and then and the cats catch them. 2 days after my husband passed away, I was in bed. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I heard, you know, my cats playing around, and of course they're creatures of the night. So they do play around and they do race around, and it's a noise that I'm very used to. And you know, somebody chased somebody across the bed, and I just thought nothing of it. And then one of my cats dropped a mouse down my back. And I got up out of bed and did a dance that was quite profound, and you know, and it was still alive. It was just fine, and it was loose in my bedroom, and I left the light on for a while, hoping that one cat would catch it, and that would be the end of it. But that didn't happen, and about 3 hours later, there was chaos in the headboard of my bed, and a cat finally did catch the mouse, and I took the cat and the mouse into the garage and said, you can come back in when you're done with whatever you're doing or knowing the cat, the mouse gets away. So the cat brought a mouse to me and dropped it down my back. Never happened before, never happened since. Thank heavens.
Right.
So what was the message? I mean, it was right after my husband had died, so that there was really a lot going on, and you know, it was a time for a message of some sort.
Right. Well, I mean, I think the message from the mouse is, I mean, I think the cat, you know, you're very connected with your cat, so they were just the facilitator, right, to bring the mouse to you. Maybe the mouse or the mice had been around and you weren't really getting it. You weren't really paying attention to the mice yet. So he brought it to you, right? And you said you have a very strong connection with your cats. But I think that the mouse message is still the same, you know, not to be... You know, I don't know if you were just feeling overwhelmed, if you were having difficulty taking care of things, but the message of the mouse is to basically break things into manageable pieces, take things one step at a time, not to be afraid, you know, that it will all work out. Just, you know, do
well,
it
yeah,
like
I mean,
that.
And, you know, that was very appropriate at that time. You know, rather than wanting to kill the cats, it was, you know, kind of nice to have. You know, had I had that kind of interpretation, I wouldn't have, you know, seriously thought of caticide. it was just, I mean, they have never brought me anything before like that. So, you know,
right.
it was a time when, you know, obviously it was a message. I just didn't have the brains to figure it out. So we've got another caller. Seeing if I can. Hi. Hello, 305?
Yes, this is Deanna. Barbara, how are you?
Hi, Deanna. I'm great. I've got Patricia here. Did you want her to pull a card for you?
Would you please? I thought Jeannie would be on, and I wanted to say something to her, but I'll write you a letter.
Okay. Patricia, this is Deanna.
Hi, Deanna. How are you?
Oh, terribly worried, but... with a smile.
Okay.
trying to overcome all those worries, you know.
Okay. Well, the card that I pulled for you is a rabbit. And the message of the...
I'm laughing because I have one right in my feet.
Oh, really? Well,
yes,
if you know that, you know, rabbits are known for their fertility. They're also known for their swiftness and their ability to take great leaps, their big leaps and their hops. So basically, if a rabbit shows up as your totem, that it's, you know, it's a good time for you now. It's a fertile time for you. And to pay attention to maybe quick-moving opportunities, you know, because when something presents itself to you, you know, you need to act quickly to take advantage of it. But the thing about a rabbit is also that the rabbit energy usually stays about 28 days. That's the time that the young stay with the parents before they can go on their own. So the rabbit the energy of the rabbit is also quick. So it'll stay for about a lunar cycle, and then it will leave. So pay attention, because it's a good time. There's opportunities available to you.
Thank you for that advice. I know exactly how to interpret that one. I acted today on something that is of paramount importance to me, and I need to stay on it. And yes, I agree. Thank you so much for your advice, Patricia.
Oh, you're welcome. You're very welcome. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Deanna.
Love you, Barbara.
Love you, too. I have wonderful people that follow the show. I am fascinated and curious. Does one's power totem stay with one your entire life, and is there a certain age that you find one, or is it something that you've had since birth?
The power animals, they do stay with you your entire life. They don't come in and out like the message, and they're usually symbolic of, your nature, your true nature. It doesn't mean that they have to always be, kind of prevalent or obvious to you, but they do stay with you. Some people believe you can have up to 9 power animals. Anywhere mm-hmm. from 1 to 9 that people have differing amounts. I don't know. I know I have the owl, and I've just gotten some information recently that leads me to think that I may also have an eagle as my power animal. I've been getting some messages that are making me feel that way. But they say the power animal, typically the way to know what is your life totem is your power animal, is either through meditation or dreams. Invite the animals to visit you. There's a number of different types of shamanic journeys that people can do and have their animals present themselves to you. So mm-hmm. if that's something that people are interested in, the animals will come forward, when they're invited, whether in the dream space or in a meditation.
I'm wondering, too, I've had, I had a cat a number of years ago, and her name was Dusty. And Dusty, and within maybe 2 or 3 years, I picked up a kitten. And the kitten was the spitting image of Dusty, and not only the spitting image, and that was my cat Smudge, and Smudge was with me for a great length of time, but just so amazingly there that it was incredible. And when he passed away, he is still here in spirit. Everybody sees him, even my husband, who did not believe in quote-unquote ghosts, one morning said to me, Gray Hat just walked past me, and
oh,
I looked
God.
Under the table, and he's not there. And I said, well, that was Smudge. And he just looked at me, and he said, the dead cat? And I said, yeah, that was Smudge. And after that, every now and then he'd say, I saw Smudge upstairs, and so Smudge is definitely here. The cleaning lady sees Smudge. And I truly believe that he's going to come back at least one more time. And it's not that I'm looking for him. I'm positive that he will come back. I have a picture of my son with Dusty, and it looks exactly like Smudge. I mean, you could not tell the difference. And I do believe that he probably had been in past lives with me. And I'm wondering, are there animals that have gone lifetime to lifetime with us? Not every lifetime, but have kind of hopscotched through time with us.
Right. Well, I believe that they do. I believe that the animals are spiritual beings, and they also travel. And they can be in multiple lifetimes with us. I believe that. That's not the same as a power animal, though.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the power animals are typically not domesticated animals, and they're not ones that we, you know, our pets wouldn't be our power animals. So even though we might feel a great love or connection with our different pets and stuff, that wouldn't necessarily be your power animal, wouldn't be symbolic of your nature. Now, if you feel, so I believe your cat can come back, and I believe the spirit of, you know, of Dusty and Smudge, you know, may travel multiple lifetimes with you. Sounds like you have a very, very strong connection. That's not to say that your power animal might not be in the cat family. You know, if you feel mm-hmm. a real affinity towards the cats, but it's probably a wild counterpart of the domesticated cat. And I would say, you know, to do a meditation or, you know, invite the animal in your dream space to come forward. You know, even an easy shamanic meditation is, you know, when you take yourself down a path and you bring yourself to a meadow and you invite the animal to come into the meadow and show themselves to you. And then your power animal will come forward.
Really cool. Now you've gotten, you know, you've come this far, which is profound, and you've gotten the book published too, which is phenomenal. Where is your path taking you? Do you have any idea?
Oh, that's such a good question. It's funny. I quit my job. You know, this has been so profound for me that the end of last spring, I was a high school computer science high school teacher, you know, up until last spring. Actually, last February is when I received the spiritual communication telling me what to write. You know, I had been, people were giving me messages that I was supposed to write books, and I was like, yeah, I'm not a writer. I'm a computer science teacher. And they're like, well, that's okay, you're going to write books, and I thought, okay, well, when I'm supposed to, I'll know. So February, I received the communication. By spring, the book was finished writing. By June, I quit my job, and because I just know, you know, it's been so profound that I know that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. It has been actually life-changing for me, the spiritual communication and kind of walking my path, and I feel so incredibly not what responsibility, that's the wrong word, but just such a desire to share the messages of connection and oneness, you know, to help people reclaim their connection with their own spirituality and with the natural world, that I knew that I needed to put my time and my talents towards it. So that's what I'm doing. And, you know, a lot of different things, you know, have been opening up. And actually, there's another book. I'm actually going to write a series of books, and there's another book that isn't finished, but that's on its way coming. So exactly what am I doing? I couldn't even tell you. You know, I just know that I'm supposed to be doing it, and, you know, I'm really opening myself up and trusting, you know, really trusting that God, the divine, you know, source has brought me this far, you know, for a really specific reason. And,
oh, absolutely.
You know, I'm just gonna continue and see what manifests at this point.
I can totally relate. I taught school. I taught special ed for 25 years, and got the message that I should be in this field full time. And I kept saying, you know, when I retire, I'll do that. You know, you don't walk away from 25 years and two master's degrees. And I said it maybe once too many times, and I had a car accident and was forced into early retirement so that I could do this work full time. So, universe has an amazing way of manipulating you if you don't pay attention. You did pay attention. I'm a slower learner, but it is amazing when you put yourself in that kind of position, when you embrace the fact that you no longer have an intellectual control, and you surrender that and just say, you know, I'm an instrument, use me, that the universe really does an amazing job of putting things in your pathway. And I've always said that, you know, people in this field who are sincerely and totally in the field have surrendered their free will to a degree and are allowing and are going with the flow, and quite often the universe, you know, says it's time to just sort of do nothing and nothing happens. And then there are other times when you're overwhelmed and you can't catch your breath. But the reality is that the universe really will put things in front of you if your intent is truly to serve. And those people that have difficulty with their spiritual journeys, with the fact that they are in the field 100%, often say, well, you know, I'm not making enough money and I'm not, you know, it's not generating enough this or that. And that's not the point of this field. The point of this field is to get a message out there to humanity. And
oh,
if your intent, and if that is your intent, if your intent is to put a message out there, then the universe takes care of you. And you know, are you rich? No, but you're happy and that's even better. So, it really is. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say. You know, I agree with you. I agree with you completely that the you know, there's no coincidences. You know, the synchronicities are amazing, and I believe that, you know, the shift. I believe that the collective consciousness is raising though, and I think things are happening faster. So. I believe that I guess got my message pretty quickly and understood it, but I think it's because of the time, and I believe it's the collective consciousness is the vibration is raising, and you know, we need to get on board and really move forward. You know, I don't think we have maybe the luxury of time that maybe when you really started making your shift that maybe you had then. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
So this happening well within the past couple of years for me, I think is because it's happening faster and faster for everybody, because it has to. You know, we do need to be the messengers. You know,
there is absolutely no doubt that the energy, there's a quickening, I guess, in the energetic field, and there is a sense here of it isn't so much enlightenment as it is an intensity of the energy, and it depends on how everybody uses that energy as to whether we go forward or backwards, I guess. And there are so many light workers out there. There are so many people out there in all sorts of different modalities and different aspects of spiritual awakening that is just, it's amazing. There are people out there with energy work that is just unbelievable. There are people out there that are waking up to talents and gifts that they've carried through time. And I truly believe that you carried this through time. This is something that, this is not your first lifetime doing this. And you know, you find that everybody is so unique and different that the message is there for whatever language you speak, for whatever level of consciousness you are. There is someone out there that's planting seeds, and all you have to do is let them take root and grow, and you're fine. And sooner or later, you know, the whole planet will get the message, but it's definitely something that is more and more to the fore of the consciousness now than ever before.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, people really, all they need to do is just invite the energy, invite the divine, ask. You know, I mean, I do. I've said almost the exact same words you said, like, you know, use me. Use me. I'm here to serve. You know, I am here. I can do this. You know, I just, you know, show me, guide me, and I will do it. You know, I will do it. I know that that is my purpose. I know my purpose is to serve. My purpose is to spread the message. You know, this message is of oneness and connection and the connection with the natural world and that support, you know, that foundational support that we're a part of such a larger consciousness, such a larger spirit. I think that's so incredibly, you know, reassuring and, you know, to people. You know, I think this is the missing piece, you know, we keep talking about, you know, to know that they're part of something so much greater than themselves and they're a valuable part of that, that every part of it is, and every piece of it is just, you know, an integral part. And they're needed, and they're necessary, and I, that's what I want people to know. And when they don't feel it, you know, to spend more time in nature. You know, I mentioned the stones and the rocks and the you know, the natural world, the plants and the trees. You know, they all are energetic beings also. You know, the energies that are coming out of the trees and the large rocks and stuff is profound. It's profound, and I think people know that. You know, you go sit under a tree and you just immediately decompress, right? You know, you go sit
Absolutely.
Out in nature and you just go, oh my gosh, I feel so much better. You know, I was on a spiritual journey in September and I went to England and it was amazing. And we visited many very energetic places, and you know, Stonehenge was one of them. We actually were very lucky; we were able to go to the inner stones, but we also went to Avebury, which is the feminine, actually much older stone circles that are, you know, close to Stonehenge. And there was this. I'm going to sound silly, but it's really not. There was this large one of the two portal stones, which. With the headstones leading into the very large stone circles. And the male one, there was a female and there was a male one. And the male one I was so drawn to that I just went up and I just put my cheek against it and just kind of stretched my arms out. It was this massive, massive stone that's been there for thousands of years. And I just burst into tears. I just started sobbing. And it was a sobbing of joy, though. I wasn't sad. I just started sobbing. The emotions that started coming out of me. And I know I was feeling the energy from the stone, you know, I mean, it was unbelievable. I was like, this is awesome. This is awesome. You know, I could just feel it. I could feel, you know, the energies. I could feel the spirit, you know, that was running through this massive stone that stood there for thousands of years. And you know, it's all real. You know, it's all real. It's all true. And it's you know, it's pretty amazing. And anybody and everybody can feel that connection. They just need to open themselves up.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir here. I did a documentary with my husband on Secrets of the Stones. And we did it on the stone chambers and stone walls that are all throughout New England. And you step into one of those stone chambers, and you feel transcendent. You feel transported back to other times and other places. I mean, you feel peace, and you feel tranquil, and you feel protected, and it's an awesome, awesome experience. So, yeah, no, you're definitely preaching to the choir.
Right, and I don't mean, and I'm not trying to preach. I just get so excited for people
No, you're absolutely right. No, I didn't mean preaching.
Right.
I mean, I do it all the time. No, No, but I totally relate to what you're saying. I guess is the better way of putting it. I have found that people. You know, when things are normal and natural and they're just basically taken for granted and people don't pause. And I think pausing and paying attention to your environment is so important, and so many people don't take the time to do that. And not only is it an easy thing to do, but it's cheap. And it doesn't take any money, it just takes time. And if you pay attention to your environment, you're reconnecting yourself with a cosmic energy that is a part of the totality of the cosmos. And you know, it's getting yourself back in tune with, in harmony with, in synchronicity with the aspect of creation. And, you know, we are a product of creation, but we are also creators. And sometimes we forget that there's that back and forth link. You know, we are a product and we are the creator. And as we have connection with our children, so too, you know, does that which created us have the connection with us? And it's really important that you sort of reconnect with the connection. You know, it's a vital thing, and the energetic, the energy that comes from, you know, nature, from flowers, from plants, from trees, from rocks, from the earth under us, that energy is something that we need to reconnect with, because we, for the most part, people are very disconnected from that energy, from that rhythm, from that pulsation that is so a part of us, and by connecting with it, we blend with that power and become even greater than we are, and frankly, by disconnecting with it, we become very small and very powerless.
Right, and you know what? I'll take it one step further, and I believe with all my heart that energy that, you know, that we're talking about is spirit. You know, to me, it's the spirit of God. And from spirit comes love. What we're really talking about is love. You know, that is at the core of everything that we're speaking about, right? That only love comes from spirit. And I think that's why when we find that connection again, when we open our eyes and open our hearts, and we feel it, it's so incredibly profound, because it's so much more than an energy. You know what I mean? It truly is, you know, it truly is the is love. That's really what it is. All love comes from spirit, and that's why it affects us so greatly. That's why we connect so deeply with the animals when we do, or we feel so peaceful when we go out into nature. Or I could stand and wrap my arms as far around this rock as I could get, and I would be sobbing with joy because my heart felt the love. My heart was connected energetically. That's what's really happening, right? You know, I mean, we're having this conversation, but we're connected through love. If we weren't, we wouldn't be feeling anything. And that's what I would like people to realize, that it's so profoundly joyful when you reconnect, like you say. You know, it just touches you at the core of your being when you can start engaging your heart again and looking at yourself and each other and the world around us through your heart. You know, through your heart center, through where love comes from. You know, that's truly what our connection is.
Oh yeah, and what I think most people are not getting, and you know, I mean, some are. I'm not saying everybody, but I would say that there is a preponderance of people that don't get it. Is that we are all one family. We're not different. We may be different colors, but we are a family. We are a family of man, and that means that in essence we do love each other. Or you know, you don't always like your family members, but there is the essence of love that is there, and it does link us. In times of tragedy, we bond together. In times of tragedy here on the earth plane, people do forget their differences and they do blend together, and those are magnificently wonderful, profound times. And the reality, I believe, is that when humanity gets to a place where we do have that connection, we do realize that we are all one family, that if we connect the love that created us with each other and we start helping each other instead of fighting, that's the time that we no longer need war, and we don't need armies, and we don't need politics, and quite possibly we don't even need religion, because there is that spiritual connection and love that is there. And that's all you need. You don't need an organized religion to experience that love. All you need to do is be unconditional towards those people that you are connected to. That's, I think, that will signal a time of transcendent for the entire human race, and you know that's the time that I'm aiming at and hopeful for.
Right, when I believe that we can look at ourselves, start with ourselves, and realize that we're spiritual beings, that that's really truly our true self, that's our truth. You know, the saying, you know, I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. I mean, that's the truth. That is absolutely the truth. And that has been a tremendous shift for me in the way that I think of myself, in the way that I approach, you know, the world around me is from a place of, as I'm a spiritual being walking through this world, and you're a spiritual being, and everyone else is a spiritual being. And when I can remember, you know, to come from that place of spirit and not only recognize myself and honor and respect myself as a powerful spiritual being, but I can look at you and everyone else as powerful spiritual beings and honor and respect you also, and realize that the connection that we have, you know, they say, you know, whatever I do, I do to you, right? If I'm doing something good, that it affects you in a good way. If I do something bad, it just reverberates out into the universe, right? So we're creators. We're creators and we're co-creators, like you said. And so if we can even just start looking, trying to approach and remember, even to a small degree, that we're not, you know, the human aspect of us is only one aspect, right? But the spiritual aspect of us is our real truth, and try to show up in the world that way, then we can see those connections. The connections with the animals are apparent. How could we not be connected? The connections with the natural world is, you know, it's almost like a no-brainer. We can walk through this world feeling and knowing our power as spiritual beings. I believe that's our birthright. That's what we're supposed to do. And then the coolest part of all of it is then we can manifest whatever reality we want, because we have that power. You know, we are truly spiritual beings.
Oh, yeah. And I think that what I find most fascinating is that you know, what once used to be considered paranormal or mystical is now quite common, and I'm really hoping that you know, we get to a point where we understand that I mean, we have power in us that we haven't even tapped into yet. We can communicate with the animals. We do take messages from them. We can link to them telepathically. And not to control, but to communicate. And it's sort of like, you know, there are other talents, skills, and abilities that we carry within us, that we've carried through time, that possibly thousands and thousands, maybe tens of thousands of years ago, that we had access to them and we utilized them. The human spirit is profoundly powerful. And I think our egos hold us back from all of the wonderful things that we are capable of. And as soon as you get to the point where you stop looking at what you're restricting yourself from and allow yourself to flow into the abundance that you carry, you know, that's when you find the joy, and that's when you find the bliss, and that's when you find the unconditional love. So, you know, I think we're on the right track. It's just a matter of, you know, when are we going to get there?
Right, and spreading the word, and, you know, because I believe, like we had said before, that people are, they're feeling their dislocation, they're feeling the disconnect, and they're searching, you know. That's why they're so open to these conversations today, because they know it's the truth, because they're feeling that something is missing. And when they allow themselves, you know, the opportunity to consider what we're talking about, they know mm-hmm. that they feel the truth of it. You know, it feels right to them. You know, they say, you know, just, you know, see how something feels. Try it on, see how it feels. You know your truth. You know when something is right for you. And when people are having these conversations today, they're like, yes, that does feel right. And it's because it is, you know, it is our truth. You know, it's funny. I'll just tell you a quick story about communicating telepathically with animals. Is I told you, you know, at one point I had four cats, and our cats, you know, are indoor outdoor cats. You know, I let the animals go outside. I feel like, you know, that they're happier that way, and I hope that doesn't upset any of your listeners knowing that. But I think it's a very personal choice. So, but we would bring them in every night, and my one particular cat would not be coming to the door at night. And so then my then husband would be like calling him and he wasn't coming, and it would be getting late and he would want to go to bed. And I'm like, no, we can't go to bed because Tiger's not in the house yet. And I had read in a book, an animal book one time, this was years ago, you know, way before anything started with the messages, and you know, that animals communicate telepathically. So I started, you know, laying in bed, and I would envision my cat, his name is Tiger, coming to the back door. I would talk to him in my head. I would be giving him visions of him walking to the back door and waiting at the door so we could come down and let him in. And I said, so I'd say to my, you know, then husband, you know, can you go check one more time? I think he's there. And he's like, he's not there. I've been calling him for half an hour. I'm like, can you just go check one more time? And he would go down, and Tiger would be at the back door. And this happened so many times that I'm like, no, wait, I'm going to try to do this thing again. It happened so many times that he finally said to me, you know what, can you just do that thing you do? So he's there waiting for me instead of me having to call him first. And I'm like, okay. And, I mean, it would never fail. You know, it never failed. He'd always just be at the door, you know, when we were ready for them to come in. So it's true. I mean, it's true. And, you know, I mean, the, you know, the connections are there, and the animals are incredible. You know, they're incredible beings.
Oh, they are. And you know, they're, I've seen people who rescue animals, who rescue, I have a friend who has a rescue farm, and she has over 40 horses that she's rescued. She has sheep, she has goats, she has pigs, she has chickens, she has, you know, any kind of animal that needs to be rescued, she rescues. And it's phenomenal. They know when you're there to help them, and they know when you're there to take care of them. And the amount of love that they show you when you take them out of an environment that is toxic to them and you put them in a place where they can just live and be joyful and you know, not bug anybody. She has these huge pigs that literally sleep in the kitchen, and you know, they're housebroken and everything, but they're huge. And she rescued them because, you know, somebody, they didn't want them, and they just kind of let them loose, and they were wandering around the town, and the town was going to put them down, as she went and she got them. And I mean, she's got a huge farm, and it's totally populated by animals she has rescued. And these animals are just the sweetest animals you have ever met. They come up to you, they rub you, they are friendly, they are so appreciative of the fact that they've been given a home and they're safe, that it's unbelievable. So that you know, all any animal needs is a lot of love. In some cases, a little bit more love than others because they've been abused. But animals are amazing companions and they're great messengers. And you know, you just can't beat them. You just can't.
All right. Oh, I agree. That's for sure. That, I mean, and after all the experiences that I've gone through with the animals, I appreciate them, you know, even more than I did before. You know, I really look at them with, you know, through different eyes, you know. And, you know, it's interesting because I know I never used to believe, you know, I would listen to people talk and they would, you know, whether they believe the animals were put here for them and that we're man and that, you know, so they're here for us to do as we wish with because we're the higher species, you know. I'm not saying that's my belief. I'm saying that, you know, that people have these beliefs and, you know, that the animals are lesser somehow than what we are and they're here for us. And even before I really started going down this path, that just always felt so incredibly wrong to me. Like, I it was like trying to put on a coat that just didn't fit. And I find it just so fascinating that anybody could have that type of a belief, you know, that all these magnificent creatures, you know, are here for us to do as we will, that they're here to be of service to us in some way instead of us sharing this magnificent world with them in honor.
Oh, yeah.
Them also.
No, it's kind of like I don't have pets really. I have companions, and that's what they are. And I think when you kind of an attitude, when you understand that you're coexisting and that there is a give and a take and that it is a partnership, it is amazing. And when you take on an animal of any sort, there's a covenant that, you know, they give you unconditional love and you make sure that you care for them as best you can and give them the best environment that you possibly can. And it's an amazing partnership, and clearly that you are at a point where you're getting all sorts of confirmation and all sorts of messages and all sorts of assurances and directions from the animals, and your appreciation of them is profound. So in the journey that you've got going here, obviously, you know, there are new directions and new venues that you're going to be going into, and it's going to be fascinating to see where you go from here with your next book and the one after that and the one after that. So I totally hope that you'll come back and share with us your adventures as you go along.
Oh, I would love to. Absolutely. And Barbara, I just want to thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to, you know, have this conversation and help spread, you know, the messages, because I feel so incredibly committed and strong about what we're talking about, and I just know that it's so important that people have these conversations. So thank you very much for having me on your show.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I got to tell you, I mean, I know that the audience is fascinated as well, and you know, there will be a lot that listen in archives as well. So, your book is profound, and I ask everybody to go check out the website and read the book, because you'll be touched by it. It's the kind of book you want to, even though you know the book, you want to go back and read it again, because there are moments that touch you and you can resonate to, and you can apply to your life too. And I promise you, it will send you to websites on animal totems immediately.
And I've also just, if I can just say quickly, on my website, I had mentioned before, is godisinthelittlethings.com, but I've also started to write a blog, and the blog is, you know, kind of my everyday things that are happening, but all the animal symbolism woven through based on my experiences. I think it's kind of a fun blog to read, and it really kind of gives you that other, you know, that connection, that perspective with the animals also, in addition to the book.
Fantastic. Well, I absolutely, it's a great gift for Christmas. It's a great gift to read for yourself. You know, so buy the book, read it, and then give it to somebody else as a gift, because it is truly a gift of wisdom, insight, and spiritual understanding. And I am so grateful that you came and shared this time with us tonight. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Barbara.
Good night now.
Good night.